that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to Weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Cinderella, a magical ballet, performed by the Chico Community Ballet Troupe. It's on stage at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium with two performances tomorrow, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Today on our program, we visit with the choreographer and with the two lead dancers of this lavish production, bringing to life the beloved fairy tale, a major dance event for the whole family.
And we fought on a hidden home. And we fought on a hidden home.
Artist Candy Matthews loves to follow the heron, the egret, and the crane, and capture images of those birds in beautiful, detailed watercolor paintings. Today we talk with Matthews about making art. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In this dark time for the North State, the arts are more important than ever. They lift our spirits and bring our communities together. Here's what's happening this week. Opening tonight, Riverfront Playhouse in Reading stages the heartwarming holiday story, A Miracle on 34th Street. Performances are at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night. Also in Reading tonight, the Oak Song Society presents Texas singer-songwriter Tish Hinojosa, playing at the Pilgrim Congregational Church, beginning at 8 o'clock. At Reading's David Marr Theater, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, produced by the University Preparatory School. Just three more performances, 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night, and 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. At the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit A Handsome Harvest, paintings by Marilyn Walsh, and ceramics by Michelle Turner. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico, at the Blue Room Theater, only two more performances of the Walworth farce, at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night. It's an Irish play that starts as a comic farce, transforms into a domestic drama, and ends as a realistic bloody tragedy. Tonight or tomorrow night, during this closing weekend, the Blue Room offers free Walworth farce tickets to those who have been displaced by the campfire. To reserve those tickets, please email amber@blueroomtheater.com by 6 p.m. tonight or tomorrow. Thanks to the generosity of Mark Edson, head of Chico Theater Company, Paradise's Theater on the Ridge has moved its production, High Noon on Wall Street, to CTC for the final weekend of the show. This original musical performs tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and this Sunday at 2. In Chico State's Humanities Building, the Janet Turner Print Museum presents Deep Etch, Legends of Chico Printmaking, with works by former members of the university's art faculty. The Turner's open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also in the Humanities Building at Chico State, the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery features Legal Gender, the Irreverent Art of Anita Steckel. Feminist artist Steckel, who passed away in 2012, works primarily in collage and montage. The University Art Gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4. That's the calendar for this week. Born on this date, W.C. Handy, an African-American composer who popularized blues music in the early 20th century. Whenever I heard the song of a bird and the answering call of its mate, remarked Handy, I could visualize the notes in scale, all built up within my consciousness as a natural symphony.
Cinderella, a magical ballet, produced this weekend by Chico Community Ballet, and it's at Laxon Auditorium on the Chico State campus. We have here the choreographer, Deborah Yoritsma, and two of the dancers. Deborah, this is a difficult time for the North State and the Chico Paradise area in particular. I understand several of your dancers were directly affected by the fire.
Yeah, we got together last Sunday to see what cast members and crew members we had who were willing to, you know, continue forward with this production. And we found out we had 9 dancers and crew members that had lost everything. At that point, they showed up and said, "We need this. Let's go forward." So that's what we're doing. We're going forward, and it's been pretty amazing.
Why do you think the arts are so important, even in, or maybe especially in, dark times like now?
Personally, I feel like it gives us a chance to kind of take a break, to be able to, like, just really breathe and relax and be taken away from all this going around us, which allows us to maybe go back and face what it is out there a little easier.
I think we all know the story of Cinderella, but tell me how this ballet tells that story differently, perhaps, than the Disney movie or other versions.
And the story is the same, but the classical ballet has a little bit different interpretation. Of course, you're doing it to the lovely score of Prokofiev. This production, it's easy to understand. The stepsisters are so comical. They're wonderful dancers, both Adelaide Sands and Tirza Panuto, doing amazing job. Mm-hmm. We have lots of fairies. We've got midnight fairies, twilight fairies, forest fairies that fill the stage. Our fairy godmother brings on our clock dwarves that tell Cinderella she better be careful. So there's elements that aren't in the Disney version that we have incorporated into our live performance. We also have a whole menagerie of little animals that are dancing.
How many dancers are involved in this production?
We have a cast of over 60 people,
wow,
ranging from ages 8 through above 50. That's all I'm going to say about that one.
We have the lead ballerina here, Cameron Titus. And of course, she's playing the title character, Cinderella. So what's it like entering this magical world again, Cameron?
I've danced in this ballet a couple of times in the past, and it's actually one of my favorite ballets.
What makes it your favorite?
It's just fun. The whole first act, like Debbie had mentioned, there's all the little animals, and the stepsisters are just hilarious. There's just so much going on, and it all follows the storyline, yet is slightly different, and it's enjoyable, comical.
Tell me from your point of view, playing the character Cinderella, what's it like going from a poor working class woman who is covered with soot from the fireplace, going from there to becoming a princess, really?
Well, the costumes have changed a little bit this year, which is exciting. They've kind of gone with a little bit of a different concept and changed up some of the costumes. So going from the rags and the cinders and the soot, into really a beautiful costume, a beautiful tutu. It's kind of like every little girl's dream
dress. How is it different from the tutus you've worn before in this role?
It's not a pancake tutu, which is kind of one of the classical types of tutus, mm-hmm. and it's a little more romantic. And it twirls fun, and it's just like every little girl's dream dress.
So you're Cinderella. Tell me about the magical part of this. How does it feel to be on stage with all of that atmosphere of magic?
Well, anytime we take a show to the stage, just being in the theater adds a magical layer to it. And then bringing this story to life, having, you know, some of the new younger dancers that are just so in awe of everything that, you know, the older dancers are doing. You can start to see them take the story seriously, and they start to believe in the magic of the story. You become not just one of the dancers, but you become that character. So I've become Cinderella mm-hmm. to even the little dancers that are in the show. And to see the looks on the faces of the little girls that come to these shows and they stay for the autograph parties afterwards, the smiles on their faces, just as we've led them through that story of Cinderella, is just exciting and magical and heartwarming.
Will there be an autograph session after both performances tomorrow? Because there's a 2 o'clock afternoon performance tomorrow and then a 7:30 evening performance.
Yes, there will be an autograph party.
So what's it like meeting all of those young kids? They're seeing you as Cinderella because they saw you on mm-hmm. stage in the fairy tale. What's it like meeting them in person after the performance?
It's really fun and really sweet. All the girls are just so excited. They're calling you Cinderella. They often are dressed up in their princess outfits, whether it's Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty or even the Little Mermaid. I've seen all the different outfits, but they love the whole idea of it and the whole magic. And it's a bit of magic that's brought to Chico.
Well, we have your Prince Charming here. This is Jake Bevins. So you've danced this role before, haven't you?
I have not danced this role before.
Really?
No, I was the jester previously. Now I have to be a little more romantic and charming, if you will.
So how do you get the illusion of being charming on stage?
Well, it's not an illusion, of course. It's like any role that you take. You have to kind of put yourself in that person's shoes. So you have to be princely, and you're a little bit torn because you want to find your true love, but you can't find them anywhere. And all of a sudden you do, but then she's gone and you have to see if the shoe fits.
So you go on quite a quest to find your true love.
I do. Yeah. Throughout the whole kingdom.
So Jake, what's the most challenging part of playing this role?
Personally, for me, I do prefer a more comedic role. So it's more difficult for me to be serious and really channel this and portray it in an elegant way.
Uh-huh. As a young boy, did you start dance with Chico Community Ballet before you moved away?
I did not. I actually started up in Bend, Oregon with the Central Oregon School of Ballet and then moved down to Chico in the year 2000 and joined Chico Community Ballet then.
What age were you when you started ballet in Bend?
I was 7.
What's it been like for you to grow up inside the world of dance and really hone your dance for so many years?
Well, it's been a journey. You know, ballet was not something that I wanted to do when I was a little boy, you know.
But how did you get into it? Yeah,
I did gymnastics, and I had a gymnastics coach that did ballet, and he recommended it that it would help my gymnastics, and I was like on a competitive team and stuff like that. So I said, okay, you know, I'll try it. Then I actually started enjoying it. And as I got older, you know, it's kind of nice to be around all those girls.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then as it's progressed, I mean, at the studio here in Chico, where I got most of my training, you know, we all have tough times in life. And it was really a safe place for me and a growing experience. I've made friends and people that are almost my family. Really incredible what the power of dance has. And that's why I keep coming back every year. It's something special.
Deborah, tell us about the atmosphere as you prepare for this, because you've been working on it for quite a while. And then this disaster happened and you didn't even know if you're going to be performing for sure. But now that you're really going to, tell me about the atmosphere among the dancers, including the ones that have gone through tragedy.
It's been true joy. I mean, there's smiles on all the dancers' faces. It's something I've never experienced before to this extent, to watch and know what some of these young dancers have gone through and to see them finding refuge and a safe place, knowing that dance is something that gives them normalcy in their life, really helping them and all of us, you know, believe that this is the right thing that we should be doing right now.
So describe what audiences will get out of this experience if they go see Cinderella at Laxon Auditorium on the Chico State campus.
You know, I really feel that they're going to have a chance to come and be magically taken away for a short amount of time from all that's going on out in our world right now. I think we all need a little bit of a magical break.
What is it about a fairy tale story like this that has appeal and meaning for people?
I was struggling. I was like, how can you, with all that's going around with our life right now, how can we focus in on Cinderella? And then someone actually said it to me. They said, but this is a story about hope. This is about a young girl who sleeps by her fireplace, by the ashes, and is risen to hope, to have hope in her life. And I thought, oh my God, this is what we need right now in our lives.
Cameron, how long have you been dancing?
I've been dancing since I was 4, so quite a while now.
Quite a while. So have you been continuously dancing in something or other since you were 4?
When I was really little, I was just taking the general pre-dance classes. Uh-huh. But as soon as I was old enough to join the Chico Community Ballet at age 8 at that time, I did, and I stayed with that and into college, actually, for the first couple of years of undergraduate. For the most part, I have stayed involved in one way or another. I left for a little while to go to graduate school, but continued to dance and perform there, and then coming back and working as a physical therapist here in the community, I have still maintained dancing and performing as they need.
What does participation in ballet and dance do for you, for your life?
It's a release. It gives you a safe place to come check everything at the door, like Debbie always used to tell us when we were little, and walk into the studio and be at peace. Forget all the worries, forget all of the stress, and just be you and dance. And it gives not only that physicality of dancing and physical release, but emotional, you know, the needs are met there. You're able to just have fun and let be.
Deborah, tell us about the stage magic that'll be going on, the sets and the other kinds of things that create physical magic on stage.
Our set is being recreated from the one that we've used before. But new elements are being added to it. We've got Lauren Sutton, who's adding more magical painting and design to our set. We've got a magical coach, transitions from like being in Cinderella's house to being all of a sudden in a land of fairies is quite wonderful. The lighting just brings a whole nother element of surprise and beauty to the entire production.
Deborah, as a choreographer, do you like working with the music of Prokofiev?
I love it. It's almost like you don't even have to choreograph. It's almost like it's telling you what you're supposed to be doing. He's just one of my favorite composers.
We've been talking with some people who are creating magic for us this weekend. It's the ballet Cinderella. It's going to be on stage tomorrow at Laxon Auditorium on the Chico State campus. Two performances tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 7:30 at night also. There's also 2 more performances the following weekend. They're both matinees on Saturday and Sunday, a week from this weekend. But the best time to go is tomorrow, so get caught up in the magic of Cinderella. I want to thank Deborah Yoritsma, Cameron Titus, and Jake Bevins for coming in and talking about it. We'll be right back. Matthews loves to follow the heron and the egret and the crane and captures images of those birds in beautiful watercolor paintings. Our visual art expert Dolores Mitchell talks with Candy Matthews about her paintings and her upcoming exhibit.
This is Dolores. Today I'm so happy to be speaking with an extraordinary watercolor artist, Candy Matthews. She's going to be installing her exhibition at Uppercrust Bakery, Maine, and 2nd Street in downtown Chico on Sunday, November 25th, and it will run through the month of December. We're turning now to a really spectacular painting of a bird. This is a blue heron, and this blue heron is really taking off. There's something unusual about its feathers.
I get so excited about the birds in Chico. When I painted this, I've seen a blue heron take off, and they are just magnificent. Their wingspan is huge, and they just make your heart stop. I always try to paint them because I want to just get one right one day. Well, this painting, I was painting away, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot stand how I painted the wings. They're horrible. So I got some other watercolor paper, cut out wings, little feathers, and glued them all on, and then repainted the whole wing area of the bird. I loved how it turned out. It was very different for me because I don't do collages very often, and I liked how the feathers looked more rough and real. Another thing about this painting is I thought it needed a little more color down in one corner, so I put Chinese figures in the corner that say heron. I was so excited when someone who spoke Chinese said, "You did it right." And I like the lovely shape of those letters that they have. They're so poetic. If you don't know what they say, it doesn't matter because they're just so beautiful.
I'm also looking at how you've dealt with space and the suggestion of marshland that this heron is taking off from. It does have quite an Asian feeling in the sense of the empty space.
Also, the clean lines, I think, make it feel very Asian too, just little pieces of drawing or little pieces of color around your subject, and then all that pale background. It made me really feel that it was quite, not necessarily Asian, but maybe old, maybe ancient, maybe something more historical than just a painting of a bird.
This will be a real treat for people who go to the show at the Uppercrust and see it in its original form. Candy, what is your approach to the watercolor medium?
I try to be a little bit the same and a little bit different at the same time. Everybody asks me why I'm always painting outside the lines. I think I put my background behind my painting to delineate what I'm trying to show. I like things sticking outside of the background. I like it reaching out to the world a little bit. My main goal is to make a color that makes me happy, that delineates my work.
I'm looking now at a group of stacked white watercolor bowls. It is definitely the white of the paper that is giving this luminosity.
I love the fact that the white paper and watercolor paintings can be used as your white. These bowls are pretty white. They have wonderful grooves that make little shadows that I love. I love stacked bowls anyway, and I have shelves full of them at home. I just wanted the white to kind of glow. In the background, I put again a dark color to show off those bowls.
One thing that you're a master of, and this is unusual for many watercolorists, is monochromatic imagery.
To me, it says, this is what the subject is, and just look at that.
I'm looking at these bowls, and I can see that there's a lot of subtlety in the background. I can see olive green, I can see brown, but it's layered. So it's not something that is going to immediately call attention to itself, and yet once you start looking, the layers of color magically draw you in. How do you do that?
I sometimes do 10 or 12 layers of different colored paint. I wait for one to dry, and I'll go, wait, that's not quite right. Let me add a little bit of this, or a little ochre, or a little Payne's gray. I just kind of keep mixing until I have the color that feels right to me.
You were talking about the symbolism in this painting, which also includes some eggshells.
The eggshells that came from the bird and the bowls that feed people. I just like the juxtaposition of the two different kinds of things that hold something.
Many of your works have to do with sustenance.
I love to cook, and I love making soup. And yes, those bowls hold soup. It's very comforting to me to be in my studio kitchen where I can be baking or cooking or stirring and also painting at the same time. It's just very homey and comfortable.
One interesting thing about your still life painting is most of the objects you use mean something to you emotionally.
I do care about the things that I paint, whether it's something fresh from the market or something from my shelves.
Artists throughout history have loved to paint round objects, sometimes hollow ones such as bowls, sometimes spheres. And it is a challenge to get that sense of three dimensions on a flat surface.
It is a challenge. So that's one of the things I really like about watercolor, is it's not really easy all the time. I think my drawing part is easy because that comes naturally to me. But then getting the paint to have meaning takes time and takes a lot of thought for me.
Tell us a little bit about how you observe nature.
I love to read. I look at a lot of books and look at pictures in the books, and I have books on every kind of bird known to man. I also love to drive out into the rice fields and look at those amazing herons and amazing egrets that are so elegant and ballerina-like.
What in particular attracts you to birds?
The fact that they're so elusive. I love their sounds. When you hear like snow geese, your heart stops. I mean, the sound they make, it's so amazing.
You love everything you paint.
That's really true. I tell my husband, oh my goodness, this is my most favorite one. He says, you say that about every single one. I am so blessed that I have this passion because it's so fun for me to paint, and I paint every day. I just absolutely love it.
I'm looking forward to seeing your work at the Upper Crust, Main, and 2nd Street in downtown Chico. Thank you so much, Candy.
And we fought all. And we fought all the hidden.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever missed this program in its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.